Rowdy.
Welcome in, one and all, to the 2024 Brody Sports Talk Mock Draft. Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. That is right. You are hearing those wonderful chimes. It is our time to shine, get our mock draft going, as I am joined by my fearless co-host who joins me every week here on the pod, Captain Orange. There he is, busting through a table right now. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing so well. I think we do have to announce the winner of my team that I'm going to root for, my bandwagon team of the year. I'm so very excited about that. But I think you should introduce another person that we have this week.
Absolutely. He is one of the less than 100 fans of the Los Angeles Chargers, and he is very excited for the Harbaugh era to begin, and that is John Anderson. John, how you doing?
I am doing great. The best thing that's ever happened to a team in Los Angeles is to sign a coach, and right after paying a quarterback that is awesome, and then they're just going to run the football all the time. So that'll be great, I'm sure.
I think we need to get him some hats that say run the dang ball. Get him to talk with Derek more about offensive linemen, because when you're talking about run game, you need to know about how like guards pull and different things like that. And of course, all of this is happening after Jason Kelce's retirement. So cannot have him, unfortunately.
Nope.
Derek, do you want to announce your bandwagon team of the year?
Yeah, so after, four rounds of voting for the year, and hopefully many years after, I will be a Buffalo Bills fan. The only team that plays in New York in the National Football League. Those other teams play in Jersey. So I am going to bust through some tables. I am going to binge drink out of bowling balls. And I am going to root for a quarterback from Wyoming. Never thought I would do that. So, Bills Mafia, I'm excited. Please give me a better season than the Broncos.
All you Bills need is
Mafia,
a hat.
Let's ride.
A hat that says Bills Mafia, and I think you need a snow shovel. No matter where you are in the country, you're going to need one.
Yeah.
Also, I just think that it's awesome. Apparently, I don't know if you like ranch, Derek, but I don't know if you're allowed to like ranch anymore, because Buffalo is very elitist about blue cheese.
I love blue cheese. See, that's my choice, is I choose blue cheese over ranch when given the opportunity.
If we need to now vote Derek out of the state of Oklahoma, let us know on Twitter at Brody Talk, because I don't know that that is an acceptable thing here. One of the rules down here is, some people say don't tread on me. Some people say Hidden Valley is the only valley. And, it's almost up there as far as equal importance in this state. So before I become any more potentially political, let's go ahead and get into the draft. Just to go through how we're going to do it. This is a tradeless mock draft, so the only trades that we're going to have are the ones that already existed, like the Bears getting the number one pick for a player from last year, and the Vikings moving up and getting a pick from the Texans. Yep. It is going to be a fun time here in this draft, as the NFC North, I think, has the most picks in this round, and I do not have to pick for most of them because I don't like them. We will get things started, because I'm going to give Derek, who I also call Captain Orange, the responsibility to pick for the traffic cone Chicago Bears. Just picture them getting ready to hold up the number one jersey in that traffic cone orange that's so bright that you sometimes feel like you can't see anything. Derek, whose eyes are about to get blinded by getting taken number one overall?
Yeah, so with the movement of Justin Fields to back up a former Bronco in Russell Wilson, they've both been sent to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bears are looking for a new quarterback. And no matter what the smokescreen is out there, you know, Jaden Daniels or Drake May or who might be the best quarterback, it has been decided since the number one pick became available or you know, was decided that the Panthers pick is a number one overall pick. It's going to be Caleb Williams. And for me, I'm just going to stick with that and not break tradition anymore. We're going Caleb Williams, number one overall.
Excellent. Excellent selection there, Derek. Not a surprise by any means. I think that we all were expecting that to happen here. What are your thoughts, John, seeing Caleb Williams go at the 101 here in this draft?
I'm relatively new-ish to football fandom last few years. I don't know when the last time the first pick overall went to a not bad team. And this is going to be really exciting. Like, the Bears were winning games. I mean, they weren't winning all the games, and they were winning even a lot of games, but they were doing all right. They had a really good defense by the end of the year, and adding apparently a generational talent at quarterback, I'm excited-ish about the Bears next year.
And I'll go ahead and say that if Caleb Williams is the next generational talent at quarterback, I hope he wins as many Super Bowls as the last two have so far, which is zero. might be a little salty. I think that if there's anything that makes me nervous about Caleb Williams, is that I do think he has a tendency for doing a little bit of hero ball. We've seen that a little bit at his time at USC, because Lincoln Riley has never had a defensive coach on his staff. I don't know if that is something that was known by all of our fans, but it does not seem like he does. All of his quarterbacks have pretty much had to go out there and score on every possession or their team loses. So at least going to the Bears, he'll have a defensive head coach in Matt Eberflus, and it will be interesting to see how they continue to build around him, as I know they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore out there as targets. And they also have a pick coming up here in a few spots for Derek to take as well at pick 9. Derek, do you want to tell us who the Bears want at that point so we can try to snipe him for you? Or are you going to reserve that information?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and tell you just right now. It's super, super easy. It's going to be Spencer Rattler.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Double dip at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for the Commanders a few years back with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. So why wouldn't you double dip in top 10?
I mean, there are worse things to do. So let's go ahead. not much, but definitely there are. Let's go ahead and keep this thing going, though. Let's go to pick number 2, as I am the GM of the Washington Commanders. They have new ownership. They traded away all of their talent late in the year last year. They also traded away Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks, and they are looking at who should be their quarterback of the future as well. And they are going to go ahead and take Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. I know that at least on this one, I feel like I was shuffling back and forth quite a bit over the last several weeks. But when it came down to it, I was just looking at everything. And the majority of the people went with Drake May as the second best quarterback in this class. And frequently, and oddly, like I even saw an expert from Yahoo Sports, Nate Tice, say that he thinks Drake May is the best player in this draft class. So he was putting him above Caleb Williams. I don't know if I buy that, but he's very talented. He's very good. And I think that in most other draft classes, you would see Drake May going at the number one overall pick. Caleb Williams just happens to be in front of him this year. So Drake May goes to number 2 to the Commanders. Derek, let me go ahead and pass it to you real quick. What are your thoughts seeing Drake May go number two? Were you surprised at this spot?
So this is the safer of the two picks, that the two players that are out there. Drake May is going to be more the prototypical, closer to the prototypical quarterback that you're going to see. Big, tall, big arm. Once he gets into the NFL, he's going to have a quarterback coach, and they're going to clean up a few of those inefficiencies and weird throws that he has. I think he's got all the tools to have it. I think the toolbox is there. I just hope that they can figure out, how to use them properly, because the Commanders haven't been well run in a while. So there's so much optimism, this guy is here, and they do this and they do that, and looks like it's going to be good, and then they just never seem to get past just being. So if Drake May does go there, well, you're the GM, so you would know that he's going there, you just drafted him, then my hope is that he's very serious and gets into the program very quickly, because I think that it's going to be needed in Washington.
John, what are your thoughts about Drake May at number two?
Arm talent is there. He is, I don't think, as polished as, and doesn't have quite the deep ball, some of the other quarterback talents that will be drafted here pretty shortly. But I don't disagree with the second overall. He's going to a organization that has a lot to prove, not just at quarterback, with all the stuff that they're changing over there. So we'll see.
Absolutely. And let's face it, the Commanders need all the help that they can get. This, if the Commanders could trade down and still get a quarterback, I would suggest that they do that. But in this case, they are drafting a quarterback and hoping that he is at least better than Danny Dimes in the division. So with all that being said, let's move forward. We're going from the NFC East to the AFC East, because with the third overall pick, the GM of the New England Patriots is John. John, are we going to see a trifecta of quarterbacks here, or are you going to go somewhere with the Patriot way on this one that we don't really understand, because Bill is not running the show there?
There are very few long snappers that I found worthy of a first round draft pick this year. However, if I were the GM of the Patriots, which I am in this case, I don't think that the team is ready to draft a first round quarterback, because you don't have anything to put around anybody you pick at number three. So I kind of went back and forth. They need offensive line help. They need defense at corner. They need wide receivers. They need defensive tackles. But for the purposes that, I don't think it'll work, but I think if they are sitting here and Williams and May are off the board, they're going with Jaden Daniels. That is what they will do, I think, but I don't think it's what they should do. I don't think
so. John, for the Patriots, is taking Jaden Daniels as the quarterback for the LSU Tigers, Heisman winner, QB. I understand where you're coming from. It's not fun to take a quarterback when you don't have a team around them. If anything, I feel like you could argue the same case for Drake May. Because the Commanders need help at so many different spots. I do think, though, in this case, that they traded away Mac Jones. You don't have we can just play Mac Jones and get a tackle this year, or we can just play Mac Jones and get a receiver. You need to go get a quarterback. You have to at least give your fans something that they can believe. And I don't think Bailey Zappe is what they want to believe in. Derek, am I wrong? What do you think about Jaden Daniels here at number three?
I think you're really right about this. What I think this is, a Jaden Daniels draft pick would be a gets B. Hines into seats pick. It's not the best fit for exactly what you're needing. I mean, of course, you need a quarterback. I get that. But you have a new head coach. You're transitioning to a brand new era that you've had Bill Belichick for the past 150 years, approximately. And so new head coach, younger head coach, a guy that is a defensive-minded guy. So you're going to get – I mean, you have to have a good quarterback. You have to have a quarterback, period, that is going to be exciting. So I think this is a pick that they're going to have to go with. If either one of those guys is here, Drake May or Jaden Daniels, maybe even Caleb Williams, who, you know, maybe next couple weeks really messes everything up. You have to pick a quarterback here, and he's now the face of your franchise.
I like where you're coming from. I like the logic, and I tend to agree it is not necessarily the best football move, but it is the best business move. And football is a business, and you do need to get season tickets going. You need to get some belief that Mayo is going to succeed there as the head coach. And so I like what they're doing. Derek, we have you on the clock for the Arizona Cardinals at number four. Are you potentially trading Kyler away, even though we don't do trades, and taking another quarterback here, or are we going to see a non-quarterback go off the board now?
So this is tough. You know how much I love Kyler. I saw him play a lot. We're an Oklahoma-based podcast, and he came from OU. So I'm not going to. I'm going to give him the best weapon, or the second best weapon in the draft, depending on if you're a Travis Kelce fan or a Tyreek Hill fan. And I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., the weapon. I mean, just the guy who is going to, I think, is going to have amazing yardage next year, no matter who's throwing him the ball. Honestly, if I didn't need a quarterback, he would be my number one overall pick. If I was the Bears, honestly, I might have kept Justin Fields and given him Marvin Harrison Jr. number one. I really like this guy, and I think he's the real deal.
John, what is your reaction here? I know that clearly you are a Harbaugh fan, so Harrison Jr. going to Ohio State. You can't like the Buckeyes. You're not allowed to. And per your contract of being a Chargers fan, what do you think of Marvin Harrison Jr. here at four overall?
I think even if he didn't have superstar talent, the pedigree is there. Like, I don't have.
No, but it definitely would be nice to have a superstar dad teach you how to be a wide receiver.
I wish I had. I mean, I love my dad. He was a great man and taught me a lot. But if someone could teach me how to be more athletic, and honestly know how to spend time in the league, like how to prepare each and every week, I would be, you know, I think that preparation is important as well. That's why I want him at four. That's why he is that number four pick. I think he's head and shoulders above any of the other receivers. And I think the Cardinals are going to walk away from this pick with high hopes and a lot of happiness.
I think they're going to be pretty happy about it as well. I mean, what's not to like about Marvin Harrison Jr. here? I think that it's a solid pick and a solid landing place. They lost Marquise Brown. You got to go out and get yourself some talent so that you can have what you need to compete in a very difficult NFC West.
How many first downs do you think he's going to catch? Then, you know, third down for a first down in his first year, because I think he can do that possession. I think he can get downfield, whatever you need. I think it's triple digits. I mean, just I think he's going to have such an impact on this Cardinals team.
I mean, I think that it's going to be very huge. I think that Harrison's going to have a breakout year. And let's face it, he's coming from wide receiver U right now in Ohio State. Like Garrett Wilson was there. Chris Olave was there. These guys come into the NFL as pro ready as they can be. He showed up. He did great there. Like his quarterback from this past year, Kyle McCord, is transferring out because they lost to Michigan. And like Harrison is in the NFL. Like clearly he did enough great things. He hasn't even done all of the drills and everything, but we still have him as the first non-quarterback off the board. He's a special talent. All right. And of course, Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. Solid pick there, Derek. Let's go ahead and go to number 5 overall in the draft. As John is the GM for his team, the Los Angeles Chargers. Bolt up. Who are the Bolts taking here at 5, John?
Now, what the Bolts should do is trade down. But we aren't doing trades. So in this case, you need offensive line that you can use to run the ball like you're going to run the ball. And you just traded away Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So you have nobody to throw the ball to. So you need a wide receiver. So if I'm the GM, I'm going to get the best of both worlds. And I'm taking Brock Bowers, tight end. And I'm putting him on the offensive line when we need to run the ball. And when we need to throw the ball, he can catch the ball. And I think if they trade down, they should trade down and get more picks in the first round and do both. But if they can't, get the best of both worlds at Brock Bowers at number 5 to the Chargers.
Derek, quick reaction to the highest tight end in the first round since the infamous Kyle Pitts at 4 a few years ago.
Yeah, so just what I think is going to happen is the Chargers – are going to trade this pick. And in real life, they're going to trade this pick. And one of those picks that they trade, you know, because they're going to get like one down the road, a third or fourth rounder with everything else. And they're going to pick up Blake Corum so that we can combine the Michigans together. But good pick. I mean, Brock is the second best pass catcher and maybe the best guy out there available.
I will say that every time I listen to people, they talk about how Brock Bowers is definitely the type of player that Harbaugh would want, someone who can secure the catch, someone who can create matchup issues, and someone who's able to block. And I think that is exactly what the Chargers would love about him here. Moving on to number 6 for the New York Football Giants. They have a lot of needs. When I was looking up some of the needs that they could have, I saw corner, running back, safety. I don't really think that there's anyone that I want to reach for from those positions here. It's really a question of, would they want to potentially take a fourth quarterback off of the board? Because let's face it, Daniel Jones is not good. They got Drew Lock in there to lock things down. But I think that this is let's go ahead and find an elite pass catcher while we can. Brock Bowers may be gone, but Malik Nabers says it's a beautiful day in New York City in the neighborhood as they take the wide receiver from LSU, GEAUX, Go Tigers, as the LSU receiver becomes the second Tiger taken in the draft behind Jaden Daniels. John, what are your thoughts here about Malik Nabers going to the Giants.
If it weren't for Marvin Harrison Jr., he would definitely be the number one overall pass catcher in this draft. He's, I think, in some ways, a better route runner, has better hands than even Harrison Jr. does. But a great pick. I don't know who's going to be throwing him the ball, but, you know, he can catch anything. So,
I mean, that would be someone from the 2025 NFL draft, I believe, is the case.
Yeah. I mean, this year.
Well, that's fair. That's very fair. So the Giants are now done. Their pick is over. Let's go ahead and move to pick number 7 with the Tennessee Titans. John, you are the GM of the Titans as well. Who do you have them taking here at pick number 7?
So far, no defensive players off the board, and I'm going to keep that going. I am going to take an offensive lineman at this particular pick. 6'6", 334 from Oregon State, Taliese Fuaga, I think, has the best numbers, best tape that I was seeing. I think he's better than Joe Alt. In this, and I think they go with offensive line right out the gate.
Fuaga, the first offensive tackle off the board. As we're talking about offensive linemen, I need to pass it to Derek. Derek, reactions.
This is a Titans pick. This is who they are. This is in their blood. If they didn't take an offensive tackle here, I would be completely surprised. You know, they're revamping stuff. They're going to want to protect Will Levis back there or whomever they have throwing the ball. So good pick. I think it's I think you're right. Has some of the best numbers.
And let's face it, Tony Pollard is going to be happy about this pick too, which is what really matters. The Falcons are now on the clock at pick number 8, and I'm going to go ahead and live life on the edge a little bit here. I'm going to go ahead and take the first defensive player selected in this draft, and that's going to be Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. You look at a lot of the things that the Falcons needed to address this offseason. It's called Welcome to Atlanta, Kirk Cousins. And I think that you bring in someone who's been there before as far as a coach, and he's a defensive guy. They need to be able to get more on the quarterbacks in the division. They need to be able to get that edge rush going and go after the Bryce Youngs, the Derek Carrs, and the Baker Mayfields of the world. And they may not sound like they're that elite, but let's face it. The Falcons should be looking potentially to the division and beyond this coming year with the Kirk Cousins acquisition and getting the top defensive player in the draft in Dallas Turner. Who wants to react to this? Anyone want to react to this before we get to the 9th pick?
I'll take it real quick here. They already have their offense players, Kirk Cousins, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. They've got their offense ready to go. Now set it up on defense. I think it's a smart pick.
Nice. Derek, you do have the pick here for the Bears. Just to recap from earlier, they did take Caleb Williams, the quarterback from the University of South Carolina. Where do you have the Bears going with the 9th overall pick?
So what Caleb does really well is getting the ball out to really great receivers. And so we're going to take the best receiver available. That's going to be Rome Odunze out of Washington. And I think that you're going to see a lot of production out of that position. I think you got the Joe Burrow, Chase, where you bring in the same, you bring in the guys same time, both rookies. I mean, yes, they didn't play on the same team. I understand that, but like growing your quarterback and a receiver in the same draft, both top 10 picks. I mean, you're getting a lot of talent out of that pick.
Definitely. I think Rome Odunze, you know, especially with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore there, he's got a little bit of time to learn. He doesn't have all the pressure on him, but he can go out there and perform, probably put DJ Moore in the slot a little bit more with Odunze and Allen on the outside, as they will be the taller receivers. And if there's anyone that's really upset about that selection, it's probably the New York Football Jets here at pick 10, because they are looking at this board and going, how on earth did the top three receivers and Brock Bowers go already? This is not what we want. This is not what we need. And so they're looking, scouring the board to figure out what they're going to do. And I don't think that there's a true, clear pick here for them. I'm going to go ahead and go with one that may seem a bit odd, but I'm going to go back-to-back Washington players. I'm going to take Troy Fautanu, the offensive tackle from Washington. You know, Aaron Rodgers got hurt early in the year last year. They've signed a lot of people to bring in on their O-line. Fautanu, you know, he's got some of those measurables where he could play tackle. He could potentially slide inside to play guard. And they're going to look at him and say, look, we can't let one injury derail our team again like it did last year. Fautanu, he's going to come in. He's going to compete. He's going to be depth. And he is, of the players that are up near the top of this draft, like, yes, Joe Alt is probably bigger and more athletic. They had that. They had that when they had the kid from Louisville a few years ago. I can't think of his name right now. Derek, you know who I'm talking about. He ran a super fast 40 and he was huge. They spent a first round pick on him like 2 or 3 years ago. I'll double check it here in a second.
As well.
Yeah. And like Olufoshanu, he's good, but he was inconsistent sometimes at Penn State. Troy Fautanu, offensive tackle, Washington, to the Jets at 10. John, you have the Vikings on the clock at 11 with their first of two first round picks. Who do you see the Vikings going with here?
I think that this is the dream scenario for the Vikings. I think they're loading up those first round picks to trade up to get a quarterback in this draft. I think that they have their sights set on JJ McCarthy. And if he just fell to them all the way down here and they didn't have to trade up, this would be the perfect scenario. You get an extra pick in the first round and you get your guy JJ McCarthy to the Vikings.
Derek, any reactions to JJ here?
So yeah, I would love for JJ McCarthy to go to the Vikings with this pick, because then you don't have to worry about Sean Payton with the next pick. But I like JJ. I think that he's going to be really good in that system, and he needs a strong offensive coordinator, offensive head coach to keep him within a system. I mean, I think Kevin O'Connell is a lot like Kyle Shanahan, that you're going to be able to put him in a system, and KOC has that system. So I think this is a good match, should I say.
I like it. I like it, Derek. Let me go ahead and before you go to the Broncos here, I want to make sure I recap where we're at, because we've had four receivers, two offensive tackles, or four quarterbacks, three receivers, two offensive tackles, and a tight end and an edge, which it is not the 12 days of Christmas, despite what that may sound like. So at number one, we had Caleb Williams to the Bears from USC, Drake May to the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU, to the Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State, to the Cardinals, Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, to the Chargers, Malik Nabers, also from LSU, to the Giants, Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle Oregon State to the Titans, Dallas Turner the edge from Alabama to the Falcons, Rome Odunze the wide receiver from Washington to the Bears, and his offensive tackle Troy Fatanu of Washington to the Jets. And then we have JJ throwing to JJ in Minnesota, as it's just JJ McCarthy to Justin Jefferson, with JJ McCarthy going at pick 11. Derek, you are Captain Orange. I know that you are unofficially on the Bills bandwagon this year. What do the Broncos do, though?
So, Sean Payton is in control of this team. He is going to go down with the ship on whatever he can possibly to do, and he needs to get himself another Drew Brees. So there is a guy that just is the most accurate quarterback in college this year, is very experienced throwing the ball because he spent half century in college between Auburn and Oregon. So for me, we're going Bo Nix. The Broncos sprint to the to there so that they can get an accurate and cheap quarterback to try to start the rebuild.
Because he's from the Ducks, do you think instead of saying something like Broncos country, let's ride, can he just start doing the Mighty Ducks quack at press conferences and seeing if people will go along with it? I just want it to happen. I want Bo Nix to have fun with it. It is fitting for the former Auburn Tiger to go back to Navy and orange. So I will say that, maybe he'll go with like War Bronco. That sounds like it's fun to say. I don't know, but Bo Nix, 5 quarterbacks in the top 12. I'm not stunned. I think this could really happen. So, John, we're going to go back to you. You have the 13th pick for the Las Vegas Raiders. Derek, I know it's not a popular opinion, but they are a football team. So John is going to select for them here. John, where do you have the Raiders going? And why is it Xavier Worthy?
I that sounds like a Raiders thing to do. They need a quarterback. They could make this top 13 picks, 6 of them quarterbacks. They could. I don't think that they will. Aiden O'Connell, and they brought in
Gardner Minshew,
the mustache twins over there. I think that they brought him in to punt this down the road, and I think they're going to go fix some of the other stuff. And I think the first corner comes off the board at this time. They're going to take Jared Verse at 13.
The edge rusher.
Edge rusher, Jared Verse. Since Dallas Turner is no longer available, they're going to take Jared Verse.
Okay.
Corner from edge.
It's okay. Coming off the corner of the offensive line. Like, it's kind of...
kind of a corner.
Derek, is there anything that makes you nervous having Jared Verse potentially facing you twice a game other than the fact that he's going to be on the opposite side of Max Crosby?
Yeah, so I would worry about that if the Las Vegas Raiders were actually a team and didn't stab themselves in the foot every time they got onto a football field. I'm bitter. I don't like the Raiders. They need to fold and no longer play football.
That does sound like something that you would really love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Derek, you do have the next pick, though. You are going to go to a team that has a Derek. So on behalf of Derek Carr, who spells his name correctly, Derek, Captain Orange, is making the pick here at 14. Where do you have the Saints marching to get this pick?
Okay, so I would expect, you know, you want to go defense with this pick. You want to go with an edge or something like that. But they just signed Chase Young. They have Willie Gay on the linebacker on a one-year deal. And so you're like, oh, man, this guy fell to us. I can't believe that Joe Ault didn't get picked in the first 12 or 13 picks. So looking at Jared Verse already off the board, Dallas Turner's already off the board, Joe Ault is a better athlete, and in what you need, you're going to have to protect whomever you have in New Orleans. So they take Joe Ault, offensive lineman.
I think that this is partially a way of saying we took Trevor Penning too high a couple of years ago. That pick did not pan out the way that they thought it was going to. And let's face it, whether they're running the ball, passing the ball, whatever, the Saints have not looked good on offense the last couple of years. And you still have Alvin Kamara back there. You need to be able to get something done. I think Joe Ault arguably possibly fell too far in this draft, but I also think that he has the upside. And I think that the Saints are probably in less of a win now mode than some of these other teams. I do have the Colts pick here at pick 15. So let's go ahead and jump to that one here. As I look through who all has been taken, one thing that I think the Saints or the Colts are going to look at is where all people have moved in their division. You know, the Titans are going in, they're bringing in wide receivers. They're like, okay, that makes sense. Calvin Ridley, the Jaguars are even going out and signing someone like Gabe Davis, who has a good game every other game. And the Texans, of course, traded for Stephon Diggs, in addition to having Nico Collins and Tank Dell. The Colts don't have the corners to match up. They're going just up the interstate into Ohio to take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo, because he is, in my opinion, the best corner in this class. I know not everyone agrees with that. I saw some people put Terrion Arnold from Alabama ahead of him, but I think Mitchell is a little bit faster. I think Mitchell is more explosive. And don't tell me that people from small schools can't be good at this next level. I know that it's not as small, but it's not like we've seen failure out of Sauce Gardner at the next level, despite him having less wide receiver talent in the American. So I think Quinyon Mitchell is a solid pick for the Colts here at pick 15. John, any kind of reaction to Mitchell here to the Colts?
I don't think he's the best corner. I think Terrion Arnold is a little bit, has better vision, has better coverage downfield, but I don't hate the pick. It's a good pick, and the Colts definitely need to help the corner. So for sure.
That's coachable. That's coachable. You can just coach him to have better vision. <I'm> just... well,
I don't think so, but
you, sure. you can't teach speed. So, maybe that's what I'm going for here with Mitchell. I don't know. Derek, let's go back to you. Let's go to the Pacific Northwest. You have the pick at 16 for the Seattle Seahawks to get us halfway through this first round. Who are the 12s taking up there?
Okay, I am going to go off of my notes here. You know, I went with a very safe pick when I was making but I'm going to go a little crazy. This is the first round, and stuff like this happens all the time. Hey, John, what state is Washington? I mean, is Seattle in? I just blew the joke.
I'll play. It's in Washington, I believe.
Okay, and do they play college football anywhere near that state? They have a Washington University, and Michael Penix Jr. played quarterback. They've got an old quarterback currently. They brought in Sam Howell as a backup. I think that they see this and they're like, man, we can – let's go have some fun. We have a brand new defensive coach. But you know what? I'm going to go – they're going Michael Penix Jr. With this pick, and we're going to get six quarterbacks in the first 16 picks.
Wow. I will sit here and fully admit, I don't know that I saw that one coming here, but I also am willing to say it's Seattle. Mike McDonald had a more athletic quarterback at Baltimore when he was over there recently. He knows the value that can bring. And everyone says that Penix has one of the best deep balls in the game. Also, I think, and Derek, you can correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the OC from Washington last year the new offensive coordinator and play caller for the Seattle Seahawks? So yes, this lines up in so correct. Many different ways. Like, I think that the argument is there. I think that it is a capable argument. I like it because I feel like this is going to shake some things up as we get towards the back half of this draft. And let's face it, that's what happens at the back half of the draft. You go, okay, all the people who I had really great grades on are probably gone. So let me take a quarterback that I like.
So we're going to go from the Ravens. We're going to go to, oh, you know, I really like purple. Oh, hey, there's this guy who wears a purple jersey. Let's bring him in. We can wear purple together and go have lunch. So I think he can only see purple.
That's fair. That is very fair. So I think at this point it is time for me to head down to Duval, as it is time for the Jacksonville Jaguars to make their selection at the 17th overall pick. And John is the GM for them in this. John, who do you have the Jaguars taking here at 17?
I think that they are needing to kind of beef up that defense. They seem to think that they're fine on offense. They traded away Calvin Ridley. But I think that they are going to go with one of the best edge rushers that is still on the board, Leatu Latu from UCLA. To the Jaguars at 17.
That would be very interesting, just because the Jags have spent a lot of picks at edge in the past few years. And I don't know if this is saying that it didn't work out or if it means that someone isn't getting paid. But it also could mean we're going to put him on the line and have him rush in from that angle. With Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, and Leatu Latu, that's three people that you don't want to block with probably just five guys. And that would be messy, messy for the opposing offensive coordinators to try to scheme up against. So I see what you're doing, and that is nasty. So very, very interesting to see that happen there. Wow. Trying to rebound here. At pick 18, I'm picking for the Cincinnati Bengals, and a lot of people off the board that I thought were going to be off the board, but there's some people that are on the board that I don't know that I expected to be here. I'm not sure where they prioritize as far as what their rankings are going to be, but I think that they've got to take Olu Muwaiwa Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State. Anytime you can bring in more people who are going to block for Joey B, you've got to do that. Especially, they had one of their former first-round picks from a few years ago leave this past offseason. So what do? You go get them, and you keep writing that check for the insurance. So I know that that is a Derek statement. You know, you've got Joe Burrow. You've got a lot of talent there. You could argue that maybe they should be taking a receiver here. so that they can deal with whatever repercussions they have with T. Higgins. But I think that offensive line is the priority here. Derek, do you agree, disagree? What do you think of Olufoshanu here?
I like this pick. I think there is a lot of value in keeping him upright. I mean, it's a, if you want to win games, you definitely have to keep the quarterback clean. And with his injury history, you don't want him to take any more hits than he absolutely has to have. So I think it's a good pick.
Next. I
think if he skipped training camp, it probably wouldn't be a, such a big deal. Seems to get hurt in training camp quite.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. So let's go ahead and switch it up. We're going to the Los Angeles Rams. And yes, the Los Angeles Rams do have a first round pick this year. For those of you who may not know, the last first round pick that the Rams used was in 2016 when they traded up to number one overall to take Jared Goff. It's been a while. He is no longer on the team. John, who are the Rams taking now that they have one? It's only been 8 years since the last time they had a first round pick.
So no pressure, I guess. Apparently they don't need first round picks because they found their star wide receiver not in the first round last year with Puka Nacua. So maybe they don't need any first round picks, but they have one, so they're going to use it. Byron Murphy II out of Illinois, defensive tackle, I think is where they're going to go. They have a decent offensive line. They have a great stable of receivers. They have Kyron Williams in the backfield. They don't really need to put too much into the offensive line. I was thinking defensive tackle or edge, but I think the top-rated DT is still on the board all the way down here. I think they go Byron Murphy II.
I like that pick. I don't know that that's a pick that I would have seen that long ago. I think that in general with Aaron Donald retiring, yes, they did well on the defensive line this past year, but no one's going to fill that hole that fast. You need to start bringing in a lot of depth and attacking that. And at least getting the top defensive tackle makes up for some of that. Derek, anything you want to add about Byron Murphy II here?
Yeah, we're going to rename him Andrew Luck of the defensive side because good luck replacing the greatest player of your position in a generation. You know, have fun.
Oh, they will have fun. Let's go ahead and I'm going to switch it over. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are there at pick 20. Arthur Smith got brought in as the new offensive coordinator. You know, they have Najee Harris. They have Russell Wilson. Let's ride or let's forge or forge the future, Russell Wilson. I don't remember what he said. But I'm going to the line. You got to be able to block for Russell. You got to be able to block for Najee. And of course, Oklahoma State Cowboys legend, Jaylen Warren. And I'm going to give them J.C. Latham. I saw some people rank him as high as being a top 10 player in this draft. And if he falls here to the Steelers at 20, I think that the Steelers are jumping for joy, going in, running in, and getting that pick. This will be back-to-back offensive tackles in the first round for them. And let's face it, their line has been ugly for a while, which is not really Steelers football. J.C. Latham is going to get a lot of reps in practice going up against T.J. Watt. He'll get better and he'll learn. So I think that it's going to be a solid pick for them as the Steelers look to do more than just make the playoffs like they did this past year. Derek, let's just go straight to the Dolphins. you have their pick here at pick 21. What do you think the Miami Dolphins should do with that selection?
Oh, man. I am in a conundrum now. So there is a really, I mean, they need offensive line, but they also need to get younger at the cornerback position. And you know, at this area, you're usually taking the best available player. You're not playing for fit so much as long as you can justify it. And with this is going to be, I'm going to stick with what I originally had. They have to get an offensive lineman, and Amarius Mims out of Georgia is probably the best in this position. So I'm going to go with Amarius Mims, and you got to protect Tua. You have to understand after this year what you have at quarterback and if he can run your system. So you're going to get your tackle. See what happens.
As the person who has the Eagles pick right after you, how dare you take an offensive lineman from Georgia before I have a chance to take them?
We already had Bowers off the board, so you can't take him with the Eagles pick.
No. Plus, I mean, the Eagles love building on the line. The Eagles love Bulldogs. And apparently Mike McDaniel is just going to take that out of the playbook this year. I'll be honest and say there's part of me as a Packers owner and Packers fan that really hopes that Mims falls to the Packers at 25 because I want him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's happening, and that makes me sad. But I think that it's a solid pick for Amarius to go to Miami. Speaking of the Eagles, this one is for our correspondent on assignment. You know who you are. I'm going to pick the player that I at least attempted to nickname the law firm when we were going through our player previews, and that's Jackson Powers Johnson, the guard, center, whatever position you want him to be, from the University of Oregon. Oregon now has two first-round picks taken in this class because Bo Nix went earlier. Jackson Powers Johnson is going here. I don't know what you want to say. He was very consistent when he played center this past season at Oregon. He's played guard. He has the size to do all of that. We're talking about the Eagles, who love to have offensive line talent. Yes, they had brought in Cam Jurgens a few years ago to potentially replace Jason Kelce at center. They played him at guard some last year. You know, what's the best five? You know, do you play Powers Johnson at guard and Jurgens at center? Do you play Powers Johnson at center and Jurgens at guard? I don't think that it matters, but the Eagles are going to figure out what five they like the most based off of how they do and how they win their jobs in practice. And so it just feels right. If Byron Murphy II is trying to replace a legend, Jackson Powers Johnson is also trying to replace an Eagles legend in Jason Kelce, because everyone loves Jason Kelce. Any reactions or thoughts about that one before we get to pick 23?
How low can the law firm get? Because if he's going to play center, they're going to try to keep doing the tush push and or the brotherly shove. The brotherly shove. You're going to have to get low again. And I mean, you're going to have a consulting role with Mr. Kelce.
I think that Jackson Powers Johnson can probably get lower than Flo Rida. So yes, I made that joke. Let's go ahead. Let's leave that one there and let's go to the Vikings at pick 23. The Vikings, of course, are coming up on their second pick of the draft. At number 11, GM John was able to get them JJ McCarthy from Michigan. Junior Colson is available. Roman Wilson is available. Blake Corum is available if they want some more Michigan people. just throwing those out there. Who do the Vikings take here at pick 23?
Like I said, if they get two picks in the top round, that's dream scenario for the Vikings. But they have it, and they just picked their quarterback of the future. They're going to need to keep him upright and running out of the pocket if he wants to. And I think that Zach Frazier from West Virginia is going to make that happen. Solid addition to the offensive line. Great at run blocking. Maybe one of the better ones as I was seeing. I don't know if they're going to use all of what they did at Michigan, because that was Michigan football. But McCarthy can do it, and Zach Frazier can plow the road.
So Zach Frazier to the Minnesota Vikings at pick 23. I keep feeling very conflicted about Zach Frazier. When I was looking up a lot of big boards, people had him in like the 30s and 40s, and I just kind of go, someone's going to value him. It's just a matter of how high. And when we're in this late first round, a lot of these people might have second round grades anyway. So if you're the Vikings and you say, hey, let's get someone to pair up with our new quarterback, I love it. I love what they're doing. And it's a solid 1-2 punch by the Vikings here in the first round. Derek, you have the 24th pick in the draft for the Dallas Cowboys. What kicker would you like to select for them this year?
So there's two ways you can go if you're the Cowboys. You either go with an Oklahoma State player, or you go with a kicker, or both in Dan Bailey's case a few years ago. I say a few years. It's been a while since Dan Bailey's been there. But in this case, when they take Oklahoma State players, they do well. But there's also another school a little bit further south of Stillwater, Oklahoma, that plays football. And with all of the offensive line talent leaving the Cowboys this year, they're going to have to regroup. And for me, they're going to take Tyler Guyton out of the University of Oklahoma. They've done well with like a CeeDee Lamb on there. They had a DeMarco Murray, so they like OU players. It's not that far of a drive from Norman to Dallas. And I think this guy fits in with their culture and with their, what they want to do. So Tyler Guyton to the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
How about them indeed? I think that Guyton is a solid pick. He's a huge dude. And with them losing Tyron Smith and having to probably move Tyler Smith out to left tackle, they need more help on the O-line. I don't know if you put him at right tackle next to Zach Martin, which would be a pretty potentially dreamy pairing on the right side. But I do think that having the Cowboys go O-line here is just a solid move and not a surprise for them to take someone, because they need to be able to run the ball with insert running back name that they draft later here. And but
insert committee that they're going to.
You don't think Rico Dowdle's the guy?
I'm highly dabbling it. So before we get to the final eight picks, we are 3/4 of the way through this draft. I'm going to go ahead and go through the picks again here one more time, just to remind everyone where we're at. So number one, Bears, Caleb Williams. Number two, Commanders, Drake May. Number three, Patriots, Jaden Daniels. Number four, Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr. Number five, to the Chargers, is Brock Bowers. Number six, Giants take Malik Nabers. Number seven, the Tennessee Titans take Talese Fuaga. At number eight, the Falcons go defensive with Dallas Turner. At number nine, the Bears catch Rome Odunze from Washington. At number 10, the Jets start blocking with Troy Fatanu from Washington. Then JJ goes to JJ with the Minnesota Vikings getting JJ McCarthy. Bo knows football, and Bo knows that he is a member of the Denver Broncos in this mock draft, courtesy of Sean Payton. At number 12, The Raiders also go defense with Jared Verse taking the edge on the opposite side of Max Crosby. The Saints go marching with a fighting Irishman and Joe Alt coming down at number 14. The Colts take Quinion Mitchell of the Toledo Rockets as they hope they will rocket them to first place in the division this coming year. The Seahawks stay local and shop local with Michael Penix Jr. From just down the road. The Jaguars do not shop local, though. They go all the way across the country and take Leatu Latu. They probably bought him a latte, but they took him here at pick 17. At number 18, Olufoshinu, the offensive tackle from Penn State to the Bengals. Number 19, the Rams take Byron Murphy II. At number 20, the Steelers take J.C. Latham. At number 21, the Dolphins take Amarius Mims. At number 22, the Eagles take Jackson Powers Johnson, the offensive guard or center. At number 23, the Vikings take Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. And at number 24, the Cowboys take Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. And holy cow, I don't know if I realized it while I was doing it, but looking at this back, we literally have, I mean, eight lineman-esque players in a row, if you want to count Latu as an edge as a lineman. Like, we have mostly offensive, but we have a defensive tackle. We've got some guards. We've got some centers. They've been flying off of the board here. I'm going to go a different direction. The Packers are up. There's a lot of different things that they could use. One of the things that they did around this pick a few years ago was take Kenny Clark when he was available. The best player I have on my board and the best player that I think is available is Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois. I think that it's just one of those things where Kenny Clark is getting up there in years. You still need to be able to rush on the nose in the 3-4 defense. And I think that Jerzon from Illinois is arguably the best person here. So we are keeping that streak continuing as I go on the line, taking a defensive tackle for the Packers at pick 25. John, it's time for you to fire the cannons as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are here at pick 26.
This guy is still out there. He's still available. And he is a freak athlete. Super athletic guy. Coming off the edge. I don't think that even some of these existing O-line players, Chop Robinson, he's such a freak. Like, watching his tape, I think he might be able to teleport because the ball snapped and then suddenly he's past two offensive linemen and he's hurrying up passes and he's sacking quarterback. And I think it's a perfect fit in Tampa Bay. They love to run, but they love their defense.
They do love their defense, and they lost some talent on the edge, so he would come fill right in for them. Probably play on the opposite side of Joe Tryon Shoinka. Say that three times fast. No, Chop Robinson is a lot easier name to say, and I think that he would love to chop up the opposing quarterback as he would go try to sack them for the Buccaneers. Derek, we've got you back on the clock again here, buddy. You are representing the Cardinals. For those of you who may have forgotten, the Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr. earlier in this draft at pick 4. Derek, what are the Cardinals doing here at pick 27?
Okay, so they were going to take Chop Robinson, but they got cut off just right before that pick. So I thought I was smooth. I thought I was like, oh yeah, I'll get in there. It's going to sound like a good pick. Blah, blah, blah. So with this, they take the best player available because they've got a lot of needs across a lot. And the next best edge player is not worth a first round pick, or you can get him at a lower level. So we go Terrion Arnold, the cornerback, because you can never have enough cornerbacks. I'm not sure you can draft Cooper DeJean in the first round after his pro day. He's looking more like a safety. Nothing wrong with it, but you're going to, in this league, so pass happy, it's better to have cornerbacks, and I'm not sure that there's many better than Terrion Arnold in this draft class.
I mean, we mentioned it earlier. When I was taking Quinion Mitchell, John thought that Terrion Arnold was the best corner in this draft class. And if the best corner in this draft class is going to 27,
yeah,
and we'll get to face against your other first-round pick, Marvin Harrison Jr., in practice every day.
Exactly.
Where do I buy tickets to Cardinals practices? Because that is a lot of talent that I would love to see going head-to-head every day. Derek, it's not your pick, but it is your newfound team. The Buffalo Bills are picking here at pick 28. John is GMing them today. Do I even need to ask? Like, are the Bills running up there? Like, how many tables are breaking in Buffalo? Like, if this actually happens during the draft, because I feel like this is like 10 out of 10 level of excitement for Bills fans right now.
10 out of 10. I mean, it was not terribly obvious what the Bills were going to do, but then they traded away their number one wide receiver to the Texans. And so I don't think there's any doubt that they're picking a wide receiver here. And I think it's time for Brian Thomas Jr. to come off the board, and hopefully he packs some warm gear down from LSU up to Buffalo. I think that is, I mean, anybody who gets a chance to catch the ball from Josh Allen, I think that he can elevate pretty much whoever gets up there.
I think you're probably right, John. I think that it's just really interesting here. I can look back and think of times when I was thinking of taking Brian Thomas Jr. Like, I would have thought about him with the Bengals at 18. I thought about him for like a split second with the Steelers, with them trading away Deontay Johnson. Like, I feel like there were a lot of spots, and I'm sure that I wasn't the only one thinking about him. Like, he could have gone so many places. And that's why I was like, the Bills would have to be thrilled to have him land here.
I've seen him over Rome Odunze. I've seen him alongside neighbors, not too many of that, but he's definitely up there. I mean, he's got the height, he's got the weight. I mean, he's fast. I think that Khalil Shakir and Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't sound near as sad as just Khalil Shakir and
tight ends.
Dalton Kincaid. Tight ends. Yeah. Dalton Kincaid catching the ball.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Bills Mafia, Derek.
You know, I'm hoping for the best. I trust Sean McDermott. I'm hoping nothing but the best for Bills Mafia.
Well, I'm looking at this pick as my final pick in this draft, and at 29, the Lions have not a ton of needs, but they did cut someone last month because of off-the-field issues. The player later turned himself into police. They're taking Nate Wiggins. I think he's the best corner left. Arguably, like, maybe the best of tier two. He's fast. He's smaller than I like for him to be, but he is fast. And my hope is that he's probably actually gone before this point and that the Lions take someone else. But I think that there's no doubt that corner was their biggest need. In my board, he was the top player available. Slam dunk pick here for Nate Wiggins to go to the Lions. We've got three picks left as we hit the 30s. John, I had to pick for the NFC Championship loser. You have the AFC Championship loser, as I'm sure they love to go by. The Baltimore Ravens here at pick 30. Locker room.
I think that's above the locker room as they walk in.
That would be motivating.
It'd be motivating. They need offensive line help, but with all of the top graded offensive linemen off the board, I don't think they go here. I don't think that they go with an edge. The other Robinson, Chop Robinson, and Darius Robinson is there. But I think that this is a chance to add another weapon to Lamar and the new offense that seemed to work okay as everyone else does, they encountered the Chiefs in the playoffs. And, you know, that's how that happened. Adonai Mitchell is who I think fits the best. Put him alongside on the other side of Zay Flowers, 6'4". So put him on the boundary, have him go up, good contested ball skills. I think he fits in there in Baltimore.
I think that's interesting because I know that they have Flowers. I believe they still have Nelson Aguilar, who's got sorry hands. And it's tough. Like when we were looking at this I was like, maybe they go receiver. I almost went like, if they go slot, they could go with Ladd McConkey. But I do think Adonai Mitchell is a higher graded receiver, and he would be someone who would better fit on the outside and leave Aguilar there in the slot to take care of business. And let's face it, it also means Odell Beckham Jr. is not coming back to the team, which I'm not the biggest fan of Odell, so I'm okay with that. Derek, we went from talking a few moments ago about your new bandwagon team that you're cheering for in the Buffalo Bills as the fan vote to your former bandwagon team who won the NFC, was fantastic for all of the year, and nearly played a whole quarter of overtime in the Super Bowl. Painful way to go down. What do you want the 49ers, or what do you have the 49ers doing here at pick 31?
Okay, so the 49ers don't need much. They need incremental upgrades, and they need to get cheaper because this team has a lot of stars on it and a lot of guys who are coming up in the next couple of years for contracts that you're going to want to. They cut longtime defensive tackle Eric Armstead over the offseason. So I think they go with a defensive tackle to fill that role. And, you know, we do so well with Robinsons around here. So let's go Darius Robinson, the defensive tackle. And I think that this is a good pick for them. I think it does help them get younger. And I do like the way that the Darius does things. So that's going to be my pick for the 49ers this year.
I think it's interesting. I've seen some people mark him down as an edge, but I think in that 4-3 defense that San Francisco runs, he would be more of like a defensive tackle because he's not going to be like Nick Bosa. Like he's not that twitchy on the outside. And mm-hmm. So I think that saying, hey, we're going to take you, we're going to play you a little bit more on the interior. Like he's not a nose tackle. He doesn't need to be. I like the pick, and I like the changing it up a little bit for Darius to be able to go and play alongside some great defensive linemen in San Francisco, because that's what they have. Like, I can't imagine how fun practice is with like Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, and some of those guys that they have that are just phenomenal blockers. Last but not least in our mock draft, John, we are with the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32, the back-to-back Super Bowl winning champion, Kansas City Chiefs, that is. I know you are a resident of Kansas City. Who do you have the Chiefs taking here at pick 32?
I don't know if you know much about the Chiefs. They have a really good quarterback. I've heard that.
I've heard of this.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Highest drafted quarterback on the team.
Yes. Yes. Carson Wentz is the highest drafted quarterback on. Yeah, he did. They have a great quarterback. His name's Patrick Mahomes. And he can throw off platform, he can scramble, and he can throw the ball at anybody, anywhere on the field. And the other thing you may not have heard about Kansas City is that nobody could catch the ball last year. And especially with some murky situation with the other wideout that could catch the ball going into next season with some legal troubles perhaps coming down the road for Rashee Rice, they need another wide receiver. And the fact that Ladd McConkey made it all the way to 32 is probably going to flip some tables in the Kansas City Chiefs draft room, and they're going to maybe not run up, but probably swagger up. They are defending champions after all, and they're going with Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Great hands. Good. Hopefully. Maybe there's something that when you walk into the locker room at Arrowhead, that something happens to your hands that it just freezes them. Tyreek Hill didn't have too much trouble, I guess. So I don't know. But yeah, Ladd McConkey to the Chiefs.
It's just not fair. You go from a red team that should have been in the national championship to a red team that is back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Does Ladd McConkey just not get to go to a bad team ever?
I think that he has We Are the Champions very high on his playlist, as he just all he does is win. And so when you can have a legacy of winning, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I want to go ahead and take a few minutes. Let's go through the players that were drafted and then maybe talk about the best of the rest for a couple of minutes here. So just to run through them real quick, I'm just going to go through the names in order. If you don't know all the teams, I'm sorry. We spent a lot of time doing this. Caleb Williams to the Bears, Drake May to the Commanders, Jaden Daniels to the Patriots, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, Brock Bowers to the Chargers, Malik Nabers to the Giants, Talese Fuaga to the Titans, Dallas Turner to the Falcons, Rome Odunze to the Bears, Troy Fatanu to the Jets, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, Bo Nix to the Broncos, Jared Verse to the Raiders, Joe Alt to the Saints, Quinion Mitchell to the Colts, Michael Penix Jr. to the Seahawks, Leatu Latu to the Jaguars, Olumuwaya Fashanu to the Bengals. I have to slow down so much for those two names. Byron Murphy II to the Rams, J.C. Latham to the Steelers, Amarius Mims to the Dolphins, Jackson Powers Johnson to the Eagles, Zach Frazier to the Vikings, Tyler Guyton to the Cowboys, Jerzon Newton to the Packers, Chop Robinson to the Bucks, Terrion Arnold to the Cardinals, Brian Thomas Jr. to the Buffalo Bills, Nate Wiggins to the Lions, Adonai Mitchell to the Ravens, Darius Robinson to the 49ers, and Ladd McConkey to the Chiefs. Whew, okay, that was a fun list to steamroll through there. I think that all of it was a lot of value and a lot of need all at the same time. I think that all of those picks were very believable and on brand for the teams. And you know what can happen when we watch the draft? Anything can happen. I mean, no one had the Packers taking Jared Love back in 2020, and they did. So when we say, hey, someone's going to take a quarterback where we don't expect it, you're probably right. So I love it, and I love the chaos and the confusion in this draft class, especially with so many linemen and edge kind of going at some point where we're like, what edge and lineman kind of makes sense here? Looking at my big board that I kind of put together from other big boards, kind of trying to get a consensus, Cooper DeJean, I know you said his pro day was yesterday, Derek. I have him here because a lot of people had him high. Some people had him lower. I don't know where that fit is, if it's corner or safety, but I don't think he's Kyle Hamilton by any means. So he is going to be potential late first round, early second rounder. Graham Barton, the offensive guard from Duke slash kind of a tackle. I think if people knew if he was going to be a guard, he might have gone. But like some people have him down as a tackle. Some people don't know if he can play tackle. It makes it harder sometimes when you go, well, which one are you? Because you don't want to spend a first round pick on a tackle that's going to end up being a guard. Like that is not the value you want. Now, could he end up going in the first round? Yes. I think it could have been him in like any of those last few lineman spots that we had there from 22 to 24. But he didn't go. And I think Guyton is a better prospect with a higher ceiling than Barton. So I like the picks. Kool-Aid McKinstry, another corner. Keon Coleman, a wide receiver. Ennis Rakestra Jr., the corner from Mizzou, I have up here as well. As far as potentially a lineman that I think we could see sneak in because we had so many linemen go, need to keep an eye on Kingsley Suamatia. And I don't know if no one drafted him because they didn't want to say his name.
I had him at number one, but I didn't want to say his name. So.
Jordan Morgan would have technically also been a potential name that you could have used from Arizona. No Xavier Worthy. I think that does make sense. There's part of me that thinks his speed is going to get him in, but where is the question? And I think the thing with
the Bengals,
a lot of these receivers,
I think the Bengals could take him for some field stretching. If they can't figure out what to do with T. Higgins and if Tyler Boyd goes, I think they might go for some speed. But I also, Troy Franklin might be a better fit too. But those are all the lighter wide receivers of the class.
I mean, all I can say for sure is as we are releasing this, we're a little over 2 weeks to the NFL draft. We hope you enjoy this mock draft. It's a lot of fun, a lot of chaos. I'm pretty sure we would all probably sit here and say that we got sniped at various points in this process, which stinks, but is also part of the fun. You can't just pencil in and go, oh, well, if this team takes this person here, I can get this person that really fits well afterwards. Well, that doesn't always happen when you share the mock draft together. Derek, let me pass it to you. I want to make sure any closing thoughts are shared. Derek, anything that you want to add before we get to the official closing here?
Everything we said was wrong, but we had a lot of fun doing it.
Nice. Derek is fully willing to admit that we are trying our best, and it's okay if, I mean, it's a mock draft. No one is getting all of these right, especially not 2 weeks ahead of time. John, anything you want to add? I know that this was probably a bit of a different experience for you. This was your first time joining us for the mock draft.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to speculate, and it's just crazy. Even though these players are like the best of the college crop coming in and some really, really talented players. First round players don't always hit, and the fit that everyone says is the best, that something happens, injury happens, coaching changes mid-season happen, Urban Meyer happens, you know, there's stuff that happens that first round picks don't always pan out, but it's a lot of fun to speculate where these players go, and I think it'll be a lot of fun seeing how wrong we are in 2 weeks.
Well, I think John just gave me some great information for our closing. We want you all to be safe the next couple of weeks. We're going to take a few weeks off as we prepare and enjoy the draft and enjoy some time with our families and whatnot. Don't let Urban Meyer happen to you. Protect yourself. If you see Urban, feel free to reach out to someone you know that you trust so that you can keep him away from you at all times. Because sometimes he takes something precious like Trevor Lawrence and makes him look horrible. So on behalf of my
2 full arm lengths away and then chomp your way away from Urban Meyer.
Nice. So on behalf of my co-host Derek and our special guest tonight, John, thank you all for listening to this episode of Brody Sports Talk. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.